get you into the booth, into the booth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. There are 46 days until the midterm elections, and we are doing the best that we can to get the down ballot candidates on the show so you can get to know them before Election Day. And today is no different. We are joined today by Jessica Katzenmeier, who is running for State Senate for an open seat in District 5, a race that is considered to be the linchpin of Governor Evers holding on to his veto power if he is reelected. So needless to say, it is a consequential race. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show here today. And like, no pressure at all, right, with this race?
But... no pressure. Yeah, when that article came out, because I that was Journal Sentinel not even a month ago, basically said that if Tony Evers is reelected, it'll largely come down to this district, which was Dale Cuenca's district before, but since he's not running again, and as the area has gotten more liberal, more left-leaning, in the Milwaukee suburbs, it is one of the few competitive legislative races this year. So, yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. So a little bit about the district. So we're in the western suburbs of Milwaukee. We have five communities in our district. We have Brookfield, New Berlin, Elm Grove, gerrymandered parts of Wauwatosa, is like I like to say, and the western part of West Allis. And this district is rated as a D+1 district in the partisan ratings. So Joe Biden had won this district by less than 1% in 2020. So when you're looking at, you know, electoral politics, we're probably looking at this race is probably going to be decided by less than 1,000 votes. And it's, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but we're having a lot of fun out there, getting out there, talking to people, knocking the doors, and doing all the lovely hardworking things I do as a candidate. So
before we jump into, because I definitely want to hear more about the conversations that you're having and what you hear from constituents as far as what they care about, but for people who don't know you, what is your background?
My background, so I did run for state assembly in 2020. I ran against Joe Sanfilippo in AD 15, which was western parts of West Allis and New Berlin with the old district. So it was during the pandemic. We were running probably about 90% of the campaign under a lockdown, where we couldn't do doors, we couldn't have in-person events, so everything was virtual. And as somebody who's been a staffer before, I was a staffer for Erica Flynn when she ran in the 84th in 2018. I went through like Emerge Wisconsin in 2017. I went through the LGBTQ Institute in 2020 out of D.C.
Oh, wow.
Plus, I've been a former union member with the Teamsters for over 12 years, and I've been here for over 25 years in Wisconsin. So I got a lot of experience. And then you go to a virtual platform, it is like, whoa, I got to change up everything I've learned. And we've got to try all these new things. Like, we definitely tried stuff that we failed at, and then we found out what worked for us. And that was having a strong social media platform. And that's what made us be successful in that year.
Because you are, I did notice that you are verified on Twitter. I was very jealous.
Yeah, you get the nice little blue check mark. You're like, yes, I'm verified.
I'm automatically more established than everyone else on this platform. So what else did you learn? Because obviously 2020 was such an anomaly from, like you said, how to run a campaign, how to get out the vote. That was the origin of As Goes Wisconsin, was me looking at, well, I as a content creator can make videos because of all of these organizers who typically would be doing door-to-door canvassing, getting signatures in person to person, all of that's out the window this year. And so how do you use social media to reach people? And so that was largely the origin story of As Goes Wisconsin, but it sounds like that's also what you guys learned a lot from that campaign in 2020. So how have you adopted that and what you learned in that campaign to this year, but also obviously now that we can meet in person, does it just mean double the work?
Well, I mean, exactly. It means like double the work because of how close this race is going to be. And I want to get on top. You know, I don't want to win this race by 100 votes. I want to win this race by a couple thousand. So there's no question there, because, you know, if it's going to be that razor thin of a margin, I am sure my opponent's probably going to, you know, do all the challenges and challenge the results, and it's just going to drag it out. And we don't want that to happen. So I guess, what this year, you know, I did have a primary opponent. I was up against Tom Pauswich, who was a two-time congressional candidate here in 5th Congressional District right here in Waukesha. And he had a lot of name recognition. And one of the things that we found successful was building on the name recognition I had gained from 2020, using our social media to be effective and getting our message out there. Of course, when the leak with Roe v. Wade happened back in May, I knew right there then this was going to be the biggest issue. And being a woman candidate in this race, I just ran on it because we got the most hits on our social media from it. I mean, there was a few tweets that we did that got like over 17,000 likes in a matter of a few days, which was crazy to think about. And my social media person, she would be calling me up. She's like, my phone is just blowing up with notifications. And I'm like, that's a good thing. This is what we want. And we were just really good about crafting up our policies, you know, and crafting up good progressive policies that really spoke to the people in the district. And that's what we ran on. And we had really good, well put together website. I have an amazing staff of interns and a campaign manager who works for me. And they do, I don't know how they do all these things. I just tell them, hey, this is what I would like to see. And they put it all together and they capture my voice. And we just had a great campaign with social media and as well as on the ground, too. I did a lot of doors and I also went to a lot of events, showed up a lot of pro-choice rallies. And people love it when they see their candidates at those, being on the front lines with them, because then they know that I'm going to fight for them when I'm elected.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jessica Katzenmeier, who is running for the District 5 State Senate seat. That is an open seat in a very consequential race. So when you're out, now that you can meet people face-to-face, when you're talking to people in the 5th District, what do they care about? What are the issues that are top of mind for them?
Obviously, number one issue I'm hearing is pro-choice.
Oh, wow.
You know, even I get like a lot of like leading Republican women, maybe they voted Republican before in the past. And because I could just pick up on, you know, things that I hear when I'm during the conversation, and they'll say, well, you know, I was typically, you know, pro-life, but then I don't want this right being taken away because what if I have to have an abortion? And we don't know what that circumstance is going into an abortion. And no woman ever wants to have to make that choice. But we should keep that choice with the woman, because I trust the woman to make that choice, to make the right choice. And this is why this issue is really speaking to people, especially the women in our district, and even our allies and the men, too. And that's really great when we have those men right behind us, too. That's probably the number one issue I hear, some on inflation. Another big one that's growing is the shared revenue issue. Of course, Republicans like to attack me, like maybe say I'm soft on crime, but at the end of the day, Republicans have had control of the legislature for how many years now? And they've kept that cap on shared revenue at 1%, and not, you know, enough communities are getting the funds that they need to fund vital programs such as police, supporting our police, supporting our fire departments, and as well as other city services. And we should be able to allow those, you know, these cities to create the revenue streams so that they can fund those properly.
And so when you inevitably, because it is a very purple district, have conversations and you knock on a door and they start the conversation by saying something like, well, I'm a Republican. How do those conversations typically go? And how do you, like, what do you, what, not tactics, but how often have you been able to have a conversation with someone who may or may not vote for you and may or may not be on the same side of the aisle as you, but it still becomes a constructive conversation?
Well, I mean, if they allow for me to continue to speak, sometimes some people just are like, no, I'm going to slam the door in your face. You know, I've had that happen to me before, and, you know, I'm used to it as a candidate. It's like, you know, it's you get rejected so many times, you know, it happens as part of the job that, you know, I'm doing here. I think the thing that I would try to do with them is ask them, well, why do you support Republicans? Like, what issues matter to you? And then when they talk about their issues, I'll tell them my side of the issues and maybe get them to think about it. Not, you know, maybe I'm not trying to fully win them over, but trying to think about the other side that, hey, look, this is a candidate that's a Democratic candidate that's taking the time to listen to me. Because one of the things I'm frustrated about is you'll get these Republicans that get elected in office, and then you never hear from them again. you know, I mean, isn't this what representation is all about? It's like, hey, let's listen to our voters. Let's be there for our constituents. Because when I'm elected, I represent everybody. And that includes Republicans, too.
Well, and that's what I hear so often. We've talked about that even earlier today, was the fact that our issues are our issues as far as things that need to get done. And yet, whether you want to blame a two-party system, whether you want to blame gerrymandering, there's so often that things that shouldn't be a partisan conversation or partisan issue, because it's just stuff that needs to get done, ends up being a political football and blaming the other side for why it can't move forward. And so that, I think, no matter what party you usually vote for, we can agree, is frustrating.
Well, I mean, hey, look at how many times Governor Evers has called the legislature into special session, and they've gaveled in and gaveled out. And they also gaveled out for the year back in March, when they're paid to do a full-time job by the taxpayers.
That really, to me, is unbelievable. And I get that everyone needs to work on campaigns are a lot, but you're literally getting paid to campaign for months.
Well, and I mean, we're not supposed to campaign on state time. There's specific laws in place there, but they gavel out in March so that the Republicans can campaign for the rest of the year, which it's like, we're paying you to do a full-time job. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's that's another thing that I think has bipartisan support, that this should either be a part-time position, or if it's a full-time position, you can't gavel out 8 months out of the year. It's unbelievable.
Right. And here we are. We got people suffering from inflation. Our, you know, the abortion issue is really big here, and not just in our state, just across the country. And I think that we should be able to address these issues in the legislature. It was the same issue back in 2020 when the pandemic was going on. And my former opponent was the chair of the health committee in the assembly and didn't really do much of anything at all. So it's like, why do people keep electing these people in the office when they're really supposed to be there to work for us?
Exactly.
And that's one of the things that I want to change, that I want to, you know, show that, hey, look, I'm trying. I'm going to reach my hand out to the other side of the aisle. Why don't we find some common ground and we move forward from that? And I think that's how progress happens.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk to you more about your motivation to run when we come back, but we're going to take a short break. Our guest this half hour is Jessica Katzenmeier, who is running for state senate in the district, the 5th district. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jessica Katzenmeier, who is running for the 5th District State Senate seat. Now, when you decided to run, whether both in 2020 and now in 2022, even if you win, you will be in the minority party. And I'm always interested for people, because there is a lot of people, and we've had a lot of people on the show so far who are choosing to run despite knowing that fact. And so what is it about, what motivates you to run knowing that your ability to get much done may be limited?
Well, I think for me, my motivation to run is knowing that I believe I know I can make a positive difference being in the leadership role that I am in, even now as a candidate for my own community, whether it's the LGBTQ or the trans community, and just for the state as a whole. So about 3 years ago, I almost died from a staph infection in my lungs that I was in the hospital for a week. And if I did not have health insurance through the ACA, it would have cost me over $80,000 to save my life. And this was my original motivation running, and it still is. Seven months later, I filed for candidacy for state assembly in that year in 2020. And here I am. I'm still battling out, fighting for my communities because I love the community I live in and I love the people in this district. And this is really what this race is all about. It's about the people at the end of the day.
And so as you are someone who is trans, and so how much has that, because I feel like especially in the last 2 years, it has been a targeted community, especially as trans youth, but how much of that part of your identity has come up in the campaign?
Honestly, not a whole lot. My identity is very important to me, but honestly, I want people to vote for me because they know that I will fight for them. And that's my continued message with this. And that's the reason why people should vote for me, is that they see that I am that fighter that they like, that they want to see me go to Madison. And kind of going back to your original point, knowing that, yes, I will be in a minority, there's still lots of stuff that we could do to get done.
And that's I find that to be super encouraging, because I feel like more often than not, while the fringe can be very loud about things, in reality, most people don't care. Like, as far as they care if you can do a good job, they can care if you are true to your word, they care about the kind of work that and like the issues that you care about. But as far as it's the fact that it hasn't come up for you, I think shows how much people actually don't care about this, and they care about bigger issues that actually affect their lives. Would you say that's been in your experience, is the conversations that you're having?
Yes, absolutely. People look past the fact that I'm trans, and you know, some of the issues that we're fighting for in this campaign is stuff like expanding public transportation here in the local area, fixing our infrastructure, doing things like, hey, we should have rail from Milwaukee to Madison, which has been a very popular issue amongst people, because they, you know, when you have better transportation systems and expanded transportation in our state, that's going to bring more jobs and more businesses are going to want to come here and relocate here. You know, amongst the other things that I believe in, you know, I'm a working class woman as well, too. We have a chance to elect a working class woman to the state Senate, which is very rare. I have to work a full-time job to make my own ends meet, as well as I'm campaigning full-time as well. And it's not an easy thing to do when you're putting in 16, 17, 18-hour days. But I do this because I care so much about this race, and I want to make sure that I give it the best possible outcome.
Which that goes to a completely different topic. It kind of circles back to what we were talking about, is the people who are getting paid to campaign versus the incumbents versus the challengers who have to either save up to be able to treat campaigning like a full-time job or still work while they're campaigning, which is basically two full-time jobs. And potentially different topic for a different day, but is that a flawed system? I would say so.
Well, I mean, when you look at, you know, there's many candidates who run, you know, and even on the Democratic side, you see a lot of Dems who are running across the state, who are, you know, like business owners, who have, you know, the money that they can take time off of work. And unfortunately, I'm not really in that position where I could take the time off. And that's why that is hard to get a lot of working class people to run for office. And I believe that this really speaks to people when they see a working class woman like myself who wins a primary like the way I did. They get excited because they see somebody like me really speaks to them. Yeah, that my message resonates to them because I'm in touch with them. You know, whereas you guys, these millionaires like Tim Michaels running for governor who lives in a different
state. I think he's a billionaire.
You know, I mean, is that somebody that's going to really speak to you as somebody who's looking like at the ballot, like, who am I going to vote for here?
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that's one of the messages that we've been really effective at getting across.
All right. Well, in the couple minutes we have left, we're going to do our speed round, which we do with all the candidates to get to know you and some of the other, you know, fringe questions that other people, other shows may not ask you. So question number one, first job.
I was a soccer referee when I was 16 years old.
Favorite stay-at-home pandemic activity?
Oh, God. Binge watching Netflix.
Person you would most like to meet, dead or alive?
There's a lot of different choices in that I can go with. I would say President Barack Obama.
All right. Something about yourself that would surprise people.
I love doing adventurous things like storm chasing.
Oh. So. Most recent movie or TV show you'd recommend?
TV show. Oh, God. I haven't really had much time to watch TV.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that a fair answer?
Totally fair answer. Favorite thing about your district?
Favorite thing is the people.
What's your walk-up song?
Oh, Good Feeling by Flo Rida.
All right. And then finally, what's still on your Wisconsin bucket list?
I guess I would be going to a Green Bay Packer game live in person.
Oh, that is a good one.
I'm not much of a football fan, but if somebody wanted to take me to one, I'm not going to turn that down.
Fair enough. All right. Well, where can people find more information about you and your campaign?
Yeah. My website's www.jessicaforwi.com. And then feel free to reach out to us anytime. We have our email address as info@jessicaforwi.com. And you'll find more information about the campaign. We're all in the social media platforms as well. Facebook, Twitter is Jessica for Wiss. We're on Instagram too. And we appreciate those follows and those likes.
Absolutely. Well, we will link all of that to our episode blog for today on asgoeswisconsin.com. But Jessica Katzenmeier, thank you so much for spending a half hour with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure too. Thank you for having me on.
Have a great day. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a couple minutes. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Getting to know what to say.